Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News. And Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola at 4 o'clock on Saturdays and also the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook, where they see movies and talk about movies and critique movies and have a good time. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good to have you. Monkey Man, you watched it. You thought what?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is not a biopic about Toots and the Maytals because we can only have one reggae legend get a biopic in a year, and we already had the Bob Marley movie this year. So, this is kind of an interesting film. This is the vision of Dev Patel, who, you know, of course, Oscar-nominated actor for Slumdog Millionaire and Lion.
Right.
He came up with this story. He co-wrote the screenplay. He stars in the film, directed the film, produced the film. So this is really kind of his vision. And it's kind of the trailers make it look kind of like a John Wick-ish kind of film. And it kind of is. It is kind of a revenge thriller.
Yeah, that's the impression I got.
Yeah, it's kind of a revenge thriller with a lot of action to it. But it's based in I believe, India and on a lot of Indian legend. There's a character that This character takes inspiration from a character in mythology that is a monkey guy. And he kind of learned about this legend from his mother, and he's out to get revenge for his mother, who was murdered by a corrupt police chief in the process of gentrification and rise to power. I'm kind of mixed on the film. It's got some good action. I don't like some of the camera choices, which is kind of my biggest beef with it. I don't know that it quite has the heart that it wants to have, but it's a good film, and it's worth checking out, especially if you're an action fan.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I mean, you know, it sounds like an endorsement to me. And then we have 83 other movies.
And the overall reviews are better than my review, to be completely honest. Running 86%
on Rotten
Tomatoes. Oh,
gosh. That's very high. Okay. First Omen, first of five more movies that we've got to do.
Yeah, so a prequel to a 50-year-old horror movie always sounds like a really good idea, right?
Perfect. It's what all of our grandparents have been waiting for.
And in fairness, that's been my thought, like, in the whole thing. The trailers on this just look terrible. But the reviews are pretty good. It's getting 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, and apparently is a pretty decent film. So if you're into horror films, this is one you might want to check out. It's kind of leading up to obviously the original Omen, which was about the young child who was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And this is about the conspiracy leading to Damien's birth.
Okay. Well, we grew up watching the movie. Maybe now we want to watch the prequel to it. Someone Like You.
Weepy romantic film titled after an Adele movie is not my cup of tea. After an Adele song is not my cup of tea, but some people love that kind of thing. Mixed reviews on this. This is based on a best-selling book about a guy who falls in love with a woman in high school who's like not really interested in kind of his best friend, but then she dies and he finds out that she secretly had a twin that they were separated as embryos from IVF and goes on this quest to find her. And, you probably see where this one.
Then we laugh and cry, and in the end we're satisfied. Okay.
Yeah, 50% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wicked Little Letter?
This is kind of an English comedy thriller drama with Olivia Colman, who's pretty much always good in everything. About two neighbors. One is this very uptight conservative woman. You can guess who plays her. And then there's kind of a rough and tumble woman next door. And the conservative woman starts getting these wicked letters in the mail that are filled with profanity and ribald suggestions. And Of course, the rough and tumble woman gets blamed for it, and then the community takes it upon themselves to investigate. Oh. This is getting pretty good reviews.
That sounds actually quite delightful. Epic Tales, T-A-I-L-S.
Animated film that's apparently been sitting on the shelf for 2 years about a brave little mouse who takes on Poseidon when his Greek town or her Greek town is about to be destroyed by Poseidon.
Okay.
Not getting good reviews.
If it's sitting for 2 years, that makes me suspicious, but the sort of premise is weird enough to captivate my at least what? And then Femme, last one.
Best reviewed movie of the week running at 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
This is about a drag artist who is beaten up, you know, is attacked and beaten, and then you kind of withdraws, but then in a gay sauna while not in drag, runs into one of the men that beat them, and you know, he finds out that this man is closeted, and starts an affair with him in pursuit of revenge.
Okay. probably not my favorite movie, most likely, but a very interesting premise for a thriller, mystery, revenge, all of that stuff. So, fascinating.
And again, great reviews on this film.
Very good. What are you going to watch next week?
We've got a lot of films coming out again next week. This time of year, we tend to get several releases in a week, but we're probably looking at Civil War, which is a new film by Alex Garland, who did Ex Machina and Annihilation.
Okay.
Great, and then Men, which I was a little less happy with. But there's a lot of politics in this one, and I'm really interested to see what he does with this.
Very good. Julio Diaz, host Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio and the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. As always, Julio, thank you for the time. Quickly reviewing so many different movies. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
Coming up next, the Transgressors Memorial Service. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Traffic now with Jake.
All right. If you're on North Davis Highway, getting by HCA Florida West Hospital this morning, headed northbound on North Davis, very, very slow there. Michigan Avenue, very, very slow this morning from an accident. This is going to be eastbound on Michigan Avenue between Softly Field Road and South Gulf Manor. Get in the left lane if you can, if you're headed in that direction eastbound. Before you get to Softly Field Road, make sure you can get over to the left. On Highway 29 in Cantonment, Old Kimstrand Road, we have a vehicle crash there that's getting cleared out of the roadway as we speak. And other than that, we're looking great. Looks like Highway 98 westbound through Gulf Breeze and proper is looking good. And Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in clear. If you see anything else out there on the roadways and you want to report it to us, you can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA Customer Service Department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale, this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
This Saturday only, save an additional 5% when you arrive before noon.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for April Fool's Day fake news stories. Over the last decade, we have observed an alarming growth in the number of organizations and personalities who have adopted the practice of publishing false news stories online on April 1st in an effort to have a little fun and make people laugh. Well, we at the Committee for Self-Righteous Indignation and the Suppression of Mirth are here to remind you that fun and laughs are highly overrated. But something much more serious is involved in this terrible practice of deceiving people for the sake of humor. I must remind you that deceiving people should only be done for the sake of important things like politics, gender, and the messiah-like planet-saving ability of electric vehicles. Since so much of our effort to fundamentally change America requires us to mislead, misinform, and misdirect the American people, for their own good, obviously, because they are too foolish to accept our causes if we were fully honest about them, it is vital that we only use lies for the most important purposes and that we never use lies for trivial reasons, which then remind people they might want to carefully evaluate information and news for themselves for accuracy instead of simply trusting everything they read. Yes, April Fool's stories remind people that they should be skeptical of information, especially if it sounds too good to be true. But of course, we need them to be gullible, particularly when we tell them things that are way too good to be true, such as that we can eliminate racism through reparations, or curb violence by defunding the police, or solve global warming by getting cows to fart less. Now, we admit, it's not nearly as bad when entities like for-profit companies or law enforcement agencies publish these fake stories, since we know they lie all the time, and we don't mind people perceiving them as unreliable. But when governmental entities or, gasp, news organizations do this, it really damages the essential blind trust we demand from our citizens. Also, research indicates that laughter and comedy make people happier and more satisfied with their lives, and since most of our agenda requires misery and dissatisfaction, such wanton humor cannot be tolerated. Thus, away with the dangerous tradition of April Fool's Day fake news. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the new German Football Association jerseys from Adidas featuring the number 44 on the back because they very strongly resemble the SS iconography of the Nazis. Yes, it may seem inconceivable to anyone who hasn't seen the 44 jersey design, but it looks very much like something every member of the Gestapo would have worn on his lapel. Now, it is true that the designs were approved by the Union of European Football Associations, but UEFA was only ever shown the designs for numbers 1 through 26, since very few teams ever have a need for numbers higher than that. They did approve the single-digit 4 jersey, but almost certainly because standing on its own, the solo 4 does not call to mind the dual lightning bolt styling of the Third Reich's Schutzstaffel emblem. And even though the 4s most definitely have a protruding mark that differentiates them from an S, and even though the numbers are oriented upright instead of at an angle as the SS mark was, close is close and that's enough for us. This incident reminds us of the now well-established principle of sonic parallelism, which was the subject of Walensky's definitive treatise on microaggressions through homophone abuse, Volume 6. If otherwise okay words sound too much like canceled words, those words must be canceled simply for hanging around with the wrong word friend, so to speak. In this case, look-alike numbers that reminisce of bygone icons of atrocity should not be allowed to be blithely worn on the backs of young German soccer fans. And just to be safe, we probably ought to ban all use of the number 44 in whatever form, maybe just for a little while, like 10 years, so that graphic designers around the world can properly learn their lesson. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our deepest gratitude for His High and Exalted Excellency, the Archbishop of Equity in the Seattle Public School System, for continuing to eradicate any vestiges of that most horrible classist, racist, and generally bourgeois tactic of having gifted programs in the schools. Over the past few academic years, the district has been moving away from this educational caste system and toward a structure that it says is more diverse, equitable, and inclusive. Literally all three letters in the second most holy acronym string, DEI. As has been well established, there is a disproportionate participation in gifted programs by non-Asian non-minorities, which means gifted programs are discriminatory against all other historically oppressed groups. In order to remedy past injustices and undo decades of racist education, Seattle is putting all students of all capability levels together in the same classrooms so that none gets a better education than another. This new policy follows similar changes in Virginia, Rhode Island, New York, and California, which have seen great strides toward equality of mediocrity under the new policy aspirationally called No Child Gets Ahead. Now, instead of segregationist policies that sort students into different cohorts by academic potential and proficiency so that every child receives instruction tailored to their particular abilities, all students will be mixed together so that nobody gets exactly what they need, equitably, with diversity and inclusion for all. Amen. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please note that we have changed the name of the informational packet from the bulletin to the handout. As Eldress Petunia Mitchell brought to our attention last week, it is very inappropriate for a body of virtue promotion such as ours to use any term for official business that contains the word bullet in it. Many people are triggered by this word of violence, and we want to be agents of peace, calm, and comfort, so please read your handouts fully before you recycle the non-bulletins. Refreshments this week are provided by Shuck and Jive Turkey, the makers of corn paste-based substitute meat for people who love to eat turkey and oysters, but believe in the moral dignity of our air and sea companions. Yes, with the carefully formulated, extruded, pressed, heat-treated, and artificially flavor-injected turkey and oyster-baked compote, you can pretend to still eat the morally forbidden fruit of fowl and shellfish. Shuck and Jive Turkey. You can really taste the disappointment.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
By the way, the jersey thing is hard to know if you haven't seen it, but Jake, I showed you the picture, and what would you say?
Yeah, if you're going to lean to the right at all, it's SS.
And have your hand outstretched toward the crowd, waving stiffly? It's not good. How do the roads look?
Oh, we're looking pretty good. We still have some tie-up on North Davis Highway getting by HCA Florida West Hospital. Also, Michigan Avenue eastbound between Softly Field Road and South Gulf Manor. Very, very slow from an earlier accident. Go ahead and get in the left lane if you can. If you're headed toward that direction before you get to Softly Field, be in that left lane, and that will help you get through there a little quicker. Highway 29 in Cantonment at Old Chemstrand Road. We still have a crash with a little bit of roadblock and slowdown there, but not too bad. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing us down, let me know about it. Call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special with live 24/7 customer service. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Thanks so much, Jake. If you need, if you're thinking about buying a home, selling a home, wondering what you should do, is now the right time? What's the market going to do? What are interest rates going to do? You know, I get it. It's a big deal. It's a big decision, and you know, sometimes that can be scary. That's why you call an expert like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. Sold 175 homes last year. Certainly can help you sell yours, buy yours, whatever the case may be. And especially if you're a first-time buyer, man, I just think it's great to have a good, solid realtor help you through that process because you learn so much, but it's nice to have somebody who already knows it while you're trying to learn it as well. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says the Port of Baltimore should be able to resume normal operations by the end of May. Federal officials say a limited access channel around the bridge is expected to open within the next 4 weeks. And excitement building ahead of Monday's solar eclipse. Andrew, it'll be the first total eclipse in the U.S. since 2017 and the last until 2044. Thousands of people are expected to travel to one of the states. With
it.
The best
yeah,
view
the
it.
Eclipse
yeah.
Tourism. It's a real thing. All right, the wrap comes up next. David, thank you so much for the update. We're going to have Ashley Hoffberger and Craig Heinzman here in studio to talk about the news and events of the week. Stick around.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. A rapid investigation by Israel on the IDF strike that killed seven World Central Kitchen workers in Gaza concludes IDF forces violated the Army rules of engagement, mishandled critical information. Two officers dismissed, others reprimanded. Will it be enough for President Biden's continued support of Israel and Gaza? He warned Prime Minister Netanyahu in a phone call yesterday. Secretary of State Blinken in Belgium.
Israel's obligation, its responsibility to maximize protection for civilians, to make that a priority, that too is a critical test.
Israel has agreed to send more aid. President Biden gets an aerial tour of salvage efforts at the Port of Baltimore today on the Key Bridge. The Labor Department March employment numbers stronger than expected. Wage increases are moderating. America is listening to Fox News.
Good Friday morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 51 and sunny. A beautiful morning here in Pensacola today. Well, the reports are back. No evidence to support claims that the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office was mishandling bodies. Two separate investigations were done into the accusations made by local funeral home directors last year. Those investigations by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement and the Medical Examiner's Commission. The Medical Examiner's Commission sent a letter detailing their findings to State Attorney Ginger Bowden Madden earlier this month. The allegations came from the owners of those four local funeral homes after a meeting they had with Escambia County Commissioner Stephen Berry. At that time, county leaders were speaking out against the plans to relocate the medical examiner's facility to Santa Rosa County. A teenager now in custody. This is in connection to that massive Easter Sunday brawl that led to two Escambia County deputies being injured. The sheriff's office says 17-year-old Tania Jackson was arrested for aggravated battery, and two other suspects are still at large. The sheriff's office previously said 43-year-old Shanette Robinson was wanted for battery on a law enforcement officer. 16-year-old Taikita Jackson is also at large. Leaders in Santa Rosa County moving forward with a plan to tie impact fees to an increase in the local option sales tax.
I believe an impact fee is appropriate. But at the same time, I wish there was a way that the people could really have their voice on the impact fee just like they could on the local option sales tax. So my proposal, and I'm not making a motion right now, but my proposal would be that we could simply pass an impact fee to become effective upon the effective date of a transportation local option sales tax.
Santa Rosa Commissioner Colton Wright there, and a pair of public hearings were held yesterday. The Board of Commissioners in Santa Rosa voted 3-2 to approve impact fees on new homes, but only if voters approve a half-cent increase in the local option sales tax on November's ballot. If it's approved, the impact fees wouldn't start until the sales tax increases next year. That sales tax increase would bring the tax to 7.5% in Santa Rosa County, the same as in Escambia. Escambia's District 2 commissioner says a meeting is happening next week on board NAS Pensacola. They're going to try to address a growing number of resident complaints about traffic issues on Blue Angel practice days.
I actually think they should limit the number of people, like they get a ticket like you do when you go to the movie or a concert. If you don't have a DOD ID card, you have to have that to get on the base. And then we could control the number. It'd be complicated for the first few weeks, but then everyone would sign up online and they'd know if you didn't get it, you're not getting on the base.
And that's one suggestion from Commissioner Mike Kohler. He says that meeting is scheduled for next Monday. This comes as District 1 Commissioner Jeff Bergosh will be in Washington, D.C. next week lobbying for a $50 million for a new hangar for the Blue Angels. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says they're investigating after a gun was found yesterday at a classroom at C.A. Weiss Elementary School. Channel 3 reporting that gun was brought to school by a child that had a disability. It was found in a special needs classroom, and so far, no charges have been filed, and no additional information has been made available about that incident. It is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Jake, what are we seeing out on the roads right now?
Okay, well, we're still looking at Michigan Avenue eastbound between Softly Field Road and South Gulf Manor. Very slow from an earlier accident. Get in the left lane if you can if you're headed towards Softly Field Road eastbound, and that'll get you through that intersection quicker. Also, East Burgess Road, getting by West Florida High School, very slow in both directions with the school zone there. Otherwise, around town, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110 are in good shape. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is looking good. Highway 29 is good from the Atmore Cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. And if you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90 through Pace, not seeing anything slowing you down. If you see anything out there on the roadways and you want to report it to us, let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the Fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will have a beautiful sunny day in store for today. Temperatures warming up near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. For Saturday, plenty of sunshine with just a few passing clouds, high near 74. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 56. Rounding out the weekend with some beautiful weather, high near 73, mostly sunny skies. Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, it's 51 in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, 47 reported in Milton. Your money now. The markets this morning are opening slightly higher. The Dow is up 116.31 at 38,713.29. S&P 500 up 1940 at 51,66.61. And the NASDAQ up 61.22 right now at 16,110.30. Our 10-year bond rate up a bit as well at 4.37%. Gold price is up 5.30 at 23,13.80. And silver prices down 38 cents at 26.86 this morning. As for crypto, it's down again today. Bitcoin down 16.23.62 at 67.104.14. The rest of the crypto market appears to be following suit as it normally does. The monthly jobs report more than meeting expectations. The Labor Department reporting the economy added 303,000 new jobs in March, exceeding the 200,000 most analysts had forecast. New York Democratic Attorney General Letitia James wants the company providing Donald Trump with his $175 million bond to prove that it has the money. James asked an appeals court Thursday to make Trump provide proof in case his appeal fails. And if the court agrees with her, Trump will have 10 days to prove the company is solvent. Ford now delaying production for its new electric pickup truck and SUV. This comes as the demand for electric vehicles hasn't really developed the way Ford executives had hoped. The Michigan-based company will continue to expand its hybrid vehicle offerings with the hopes of hybrid powertrains across its gas-powered car lineup by the end of the decade. It is 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
To the hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap it up.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's our last half hour. That means that it's time to talk with a couple of, in one case, an old friend. You're not that old, Craig, but, you know, we've known each other a while. And a new friend. So we have Craig Heinzman. He is the community outreach pastor, Marcus Point Baptist Church. Did I get it right?
That's right.
Oh, outstanding. Your pastor liked my Easter post.
Hey, look at that.
I know. I felt like such a celebrity. It was so great. and then we also have Ashley Hoffberger. She is a candidate for District 4 County Commissioner and the owner of The Washroom, which people may or may not know. It's not a series of bathrooms. It is a series of
high-end laundromats.
What is a high-end laundromat?
Great question. So it's super nice. Everything is app-operated, so you can literally start the washers from your phone, or you can bring quarters like you did in the 90s if you want to keep up with that type of thing. And then all of the furniture is very comfortable. It's not the old gel or airport furniture that you're used to seeing. And then at our university location, we have a cafe and a lounge area with beanbags in it.
So it takes a very unpleasant menial must-do task for people who don't have their own and turns it into something like an event.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually our slogan, where doing laundry is not a chore.
Oh, do you ever have bands?
No, but that's a great idea.
See? You know,
yeah, maybe I like so. That.
I would love to do a gig there. That would be
oh,
awesome.
Oh, that'd be great.
But can you play the washboard?
You
can. Oh. Da, 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 da. I bet you could add that in. You could add that in. Right?
And do you do like delivery pickup, that kind of thing too?
We do, absolutely. So I've referred to it as the laundry fairy. So you can just put your laundry on the front porch in a bag, and then the next day it comes back all nice and folded, and you just put it away.
It's like a Uber irons or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's great.
On demand.
So I think the story that's happened, God, we have so much. It's been a news avalanche. It really has been so much stuff.
News avalanche.
I don't even know where to start. What's your take on the Pam Childers ICMA retirement account thing, Craig? I mean, I know you've heard me talk about this a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
We just had Pam on last hour. She's now come publicly and said, now that I've won and you've lost, you need to pay back all of this money. Let's get it back into the county's hands, and then we'll see where the Florida Retirement Service system goes with this. And, you know, probably ought to go into those accounts eventually. But first, you need to pay back the money.
No, and I understand that. I think having to figure out how to make that happen, do you pull it out of the account? Do you close the accounts?
I mean, she says, yeah, close the accounts, zero it out, and give me the money. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand not being aware of how to invest in this, that, and the other, and what the options are and are not. And I think the whole thing is kind of just crazy, the whole scenario.
All the drama of it. Yeah,
the drama is kind of over the top. But if it's been found to be illegal, let's set it right. Get everybody where they needed to be and get them in the FR system like they should have been in the first place.
And she said, when I talked to her last hour, I had forgotten this, but she says that one of the commissioners had said previously, if it's illegal, we'll give the money back. So, and I don't remember them saying that. It seemed vaguely familiar. And I'm sure she's right that they did say that. I just didn't remember it. And I mean, if that's true, then, you know, case closed, I would think. Ashley?
Absolutely agree. I feel like once the court has decided, hey, this is the direction we need to move, then as, you know, responsible citizens, we need to move that direction and correct whatever we did wrong.
Right. I mean, it's not repentance and an apology if you don't do something to make up for it, right?
Sure. And even if you didn't know it was something that you were doing necessarily wrong,
right,
it was found to be, so let's make it right.
Yeah. And it seems like the best end result here would be the money that's in the ICMA now, the local plan, whatever you want to call it, the 401A, comes back, goes to FRS, assuming that they can find a way legally to make that happen.
Correct.
The commissioners will still, I assume, we'll still get their slice of the retirement. The fund will get its slice of it, and, you know, we can move on, we hope. So at least that seems like the most logical plan. I had initially thought that, you know, they shouldn't get anything for retirement out of it because they took this gamble, caused all this trouble, and wouldn't back down when challenged on it. I could probably be talked into that makes the more sense option, too. I mean, I don't know that they should lose the retirement that they are entitled to if they had been in that system.
Well, that's what I was saying. If you're already in the system and we found that this was not a legal way to do it, or the best way to do it. Now we have the actual way you should have done it in the first place. It's still an earned retirement income. It's still part of the package they were given when they came on board. So get that, let them have that, and correct the problem.
I think what bothers me about that outcome, though, is there's no penalty for all of this crazy, selfish drama that we've been going through for years over this thing, and I want there to be a penalty, otherwise what lesson was learned? We can try this whenever we like, and if we get caught, we don't even get a hand slap. It's just a bad for you, fix it.
I don't think it was malicious the way that they took the money. I think it was just the way that they interpreted the contract and the rules. Mm-hmm. So I like we said, once the judge has decided, hey, this is the correct interpretation of the contract, then we need to follow that. So I don't think they should lose anything that they were owed. But we do need to set it.
Well, yeah, and if return on investment is so much less than, you know, what they would have gotten under the current plan, then there is some penalty to that.
I guess I'm a little bit of the mind that it's not so much when they made the initial option to be in, but they did, which Bender did at first, and then May and Barry followed later when they found out how much money he was making and were amazed by it. And then they tried the back cash grab, right? Like they tried to get paid back for the prior, which that was really, really bad. They never voted on it, though. And I guess they made the choice to keep going with this and to defend it and to litigate it and to it seems like there needs to be some kind of consequence for that. Maybe that's what voting is for. I don't know. Maybe that's what elections are for, you know?
I mean, that would definitely say that we can see that even at the presidential level. You have to say,
at some point, it's the voters who hold you
the
accountable.
The voters are the ones who are going to hold you accountable.
No, that's
absolutely
fair. That's fair. God, there's so much in the news. We'll come back in just a second. We got Ashley Hoffberger here in studio with me, Craig Hinesman on the wrap. Let's get traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, we're looking pretty good on our roadways. We're still seeing some major slowdown on Michigan Avenue. This is going to be eastbound between Softly Field Road and South Gulf Manor. Get in the left lane if you can, if you're headed out in that direction, eastbound on Michigan Avenue. Stay in the left lane, and that'll get you through there a little quicker. Also, East Burgess Road by West Florida High School, very slow in both directions with the school zone there. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is clear. And looks like I-10 and I-110 are in great shape. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. We had a student apparently bring a gun to C.A. Weiss. A week or two ago, we had a student bring a gun to Gulf Breeze High School. And also in that time, we've had the Escambia County Schools roll out their new, you know, light touch gun and vape detectors that you walk through and it just sends off a nice innocuous, you know, that you violated.
Right,
and
right.
I made the case the other day. I said, I get it. I get safety. I'm a parent. I certainly understand wanting to keep the school safe. But I also think that when we tell all the kids that we cannot trust them, that they're basically animals and we got to treat them like that, and we put metal detectors, like, you know, bars on the windows and metal detectors going into the classrooms, that we're sending a message to, and that trust is a fragile thing and belief and faith is a fragile thing. And I just want people to be, I wanted them to take that serious. I'm not against these things, but I wanted them to take that seriously. And it does concern me that we're continuously telling kids, you know, you're so bad that you can't do the things that we expect you to do. Ashley, thoughts?
Well, it's sad. It is absolutely sad. But the harsh reality is it is happening, and we have to do what we can to keep our kids safe and to prevent that. And I think educating our kids on why we're doing that and what the safety measures are is really, really important as well. I mean, we have to go through it when we go to the airport. We have to go through it when we go to the courthouse. And
but don't you feel like they're telling you you're a criminal when that happens?
Oh, I hate going through TSA. It gives me anxiety before I even get to the gate.
Right.
I don't enjoy it. But I do respect the fact that it is in place to keep me safe when I'm at the airport.
I'm only, you know, feeling like a criminal when I get, you know, hey, you come touched to the side over here, and now we gotta, you know, do the full pat down.
Right.
No, and it really, I feel
like they treat me as a criminal when I go through a grocery store and they want to inspect my receipt. Y'all can't even pay for checkers, and
Sam's
I got to do
Club,
that work,
yeah.
And now you got to check me that I'm leaving? Come on now.
I can understand that. I think that, you know, much to Ashley's point, I think you have to keep kids safe. I, as a youth pastor for almost 20-some-odd years, I trust every teenager about 50% of the time. That's it. I won't give them any more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, the brain doesn't, they're not thinking clearly. Right. They're not, and kids are kids. We don't know why this kid brought the gun to C.A. Weiss. You know, we understand that there were some issues with the kid at Gulf Breeze. We understand that the mom's been arrested in that. There's been all kinds of other issues there. I definitely think we have to get a handle on this before
you
got to
stop hitting the table with your fingers.
Yep. Oh, sorry.
I also feel like it's a
podium
mental health.
Pounding.
Podium pounding, is that what it is?
It comes over the radio. Yeah,
I feel
like
it's a mental health thing too, right? So what is, obviously bringing a gun to school is not okay, but what is the reasoning behind that?
Yeah.
What does your home life look like? And are we doing what we need to do to protect the mental health of our kids? And are we advocating for that?
You know, and it occurs to me, I tend to fixate on the gun slice of this problem, the weapon slice,
right?
But if it also does detect, I don't know, let's say 90% of vape pens, okay? There are so many.
The vape things.
That if that actually works, that's actually the more important part of this technology, it seems to me.
I would agree. Have you seen like popcorn lung or this cauliflower lung thing that happens with vapes now?
No.
Oh, it's absolutely horrendous what can happen to the lungs with the chemicals that are in there. And I was a 13-year-old in our community that is now dealing with forever changed capacity in their lungs because of vapes. And so that's just another piece of the pie. Obviously, we have to be able to trust parents to go through and search. But even with my kid, I don't. Listen, he has no privacy. I get to search his room. I get to do whatever.
That's right.
Because I
get on that phone,
kids are
get on
do
that
it.
Laptop,
get on the,
do
absolutely,
what you need to do.
Because
that's
kids
right.
are going to do what they're going to do. And even the quote-unquote best kids. And that's one of the things is that C.A. Weiss and Gulf Breeze, they're not bad schools. I mean, those are great schools. C.A. Weiss is a community school. It's got all kinds of resources available.
They've done amazing
like,
things in the last few
absolutely.
Years. Yeah. I know some people teach there. Yeah, it's a great school.
Yeah, it's an incredible school. So we're not talking about like troubled schools. These are, you know, top-tier schools in our community that are having issues with kids, you know, that are making poor decisions.
Right. this other story that has really caught my attention, we've been talking about all the Escambia County things, and it's, you know, as I've been saying this morning, we're 0 for 4. The county is 0 for 4. The county commissioners, the three of them that make most of these decisions are 0 for 4. And the 0 for 4 now is with the medical examiner. The Deanna Oleski, you know, there was this allegation made by the funeral directors, and Stephen Berry was involved in bringing that. However you want to style his involvement, he was involved, okay? And she says, no, that's all false. The allegations are false. The medical examiner's board and FDLE investigated different slices of the issue. The medical examiner's board says, we find no evidence to proceed with any kind of a complaint here. FDLE investigated one of the claims that would have involved a crime if it had been true, the mistreatment of a body. And they find nothing to proceed. In fact, they've, you know, they were, there's a photo of the body leaving that is in good shape. And then somehow or other, a relative says they saw a body in terrible shape and they were the ones who made the complaint. Did they lie? Did the funeral home do something after it left the medical examiner's? We don't really know. You know, there's serious allegations behind the possibility that something happened after it left the office. So, but that's another, you know, case that, look, that's Escambia County's in trouble in that case. The Replevin with the text messages, the Pam Childers with the ICMA. And I feel like I'm forgetting one because there's so many of them in the last week or so. But it seems like we need to make better decisions, especially about when and when not to engage in lawsuits.
Yeah, there's several lawsuits on the table, if you want to phrase it that way, that are costing the county money. And I think as a group, we need to look at, okay, what are our priorities and how do we move forward together and how do we spend our taxpayers' dollars in a responsible way and really focus on rallying around a vision together and making sure that we're not just moving forward as this district or that district, but we're moving forward not just as a county, but as a community and doing what's best. And lawsuits is probably not the best spend of our taxpayers' dollars.
I forgot the fourth one. It's the Ramey Edler case where they voted yesterday to spend, well, insurance money, but to settle that $950,000.
Yeah,
and that's not even the end of that lawsuit because there's still the whole issue about false claims there. Yeah, that's a 0 for 4 over the course of the week.
I think when you get into lawsuits, it's such a tricky subject because sometimes there's actual damage done, and so you have to repair that damage. So mm-hmm. the question is, how do you keep from having those things happen on the front end? We want to save the taxpayers' money. Let's not make unwise decisions or allegations without making sure that everything is lined up factually, that we can make the case. And we can see that, obviously, not just in our community. The you know what is it the Days of Our Milton? We're going through the
yeah,
same.
Yeah, no,
you know?
That's
I mean,
right.
It's something that's now happening. I feel like it's happening even on a national level. We're just throwing out allegations and we're just saying whatever, and that without any kind of factual backup for that, and it grabs a headline and somebody runs with it on social media, and all of a sudden now we've got this massive problem.
Yeah, I feel like as a whole, frivolous lawsuits are coming left and right, and I don't know who's pushing that, if it's just like this generation is like, I'm just going to sue and do this, or if the attorneys are pushing that, but people, there's unintended consequences for that, and there are attorney fees, and it ties up the courts. And
right.
If we're going to tie up the courts, we need to make sure that it's something valid.
And in some of these cases, you know, somebody might say, well, maybe the county needs a new attorney. You know, Allison Rogers is the attorney for quite a long time. Yeah, but there were a lot of times when the commissioners really pushed her in ways that you could tell she was reluctant to do it, too. So I don't, sure. You know, maybe that's something people think. But I also know there's been cases where she was kind of telling them don't do this. And they, like the Replevin one, where she wasn't even the lawyer of record on the case. Like, you know, right. She's clearly saying that this is not a good idea. You guys shouldn't engage in this. Something else that we've been talking about just a little bit is earlier this week, we got three big rulings on Monday from the Florida State Supreme Court. They allowed us to have the abortion referendum that would allow abortion on demand for any reason up to 24 weeks and with a doctor's note basically thereafter up to the time of birth. Medical marijuana, or not medical, recreational marijuana is going to be on the ballot, both with 60% if they pass. And they upheld the abortion law that the Privacy Amendment doesn't invalidate that. So we're at 15 weeks. We have been, and it'll go to six weeks of term in about 3 weeks. I think that'll become effective. Again, this week has been a lot. Let's talk about the abortion vote referendum. Suddenly, Florida might be an interesting place, right? We thought we were a solid red state. We're going to go red, and that's going to be the end of it. That could change a lot of the voting this fall, right?
It's definitely going to bring out both sides of the issue, I believe. I think you're going to have folks that are on the pro-life side and the pro-choice side that are definitely going to come to the polls now, maybe that weren't going to come ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So does it tighten the race? Certainly, it probably is going to tighten it a little bit. I don't think, given the way that the state turned in the midterms and what we saw, I don't see it going blue or even close to purple. It's going to get maybe a lighter shade of red, but not or darker shade of red, I guess would be the case there, but not.
You had it right. Lighter red.
Lighter red, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, mauve. But I don't know that it's going to go.
It's going to be a mauve state.
It's going to go purple. But it's just, it's now it's, because of this ruling, we have to get the information out there.
Yep.
Just talking with my kids the other day, of course, I am staunchly pro-life. I have been since we lost our first child. And if you've experienced a miscarriage, you can't imagine doing it intentionally. You just really can't. And I understand that there are situations and there are women out there that are suffering. And I get, mm-hmm. Trust me, I understand. But when I look at it, I tell my kids, listen, do you think it's okay to kill a child up to the time it's born? Period. Okay, if you say no to that, you have to vote no on this amendment. As long as it's clear, that's, we got to get that thing out of the way, because that's what it allows. It will allow, with a doctor's permission,
with
to kill a child
right
before it's born. And that's absolutely insane to me.
It's, you know, when Roe was in place, I think weirdly it was mostly pro-lifers who talked and thought a lot about abortion, and everybody else, it was kind of background. And now with the ruling and all of the amendment that's going to be up for a vote, it's almost like we're all of a sudden having to really think and talk and argue about something that an awful lot of Americans would just rather ignore. Whatever your
Absolutely.
View is, we would just rather not talk, because it's a very unpleasant thing to think about.
Well, and I think there needs to be some education around that. I am pro-life. My little girl's adopted. And if her mom would not have made the decision to keep her, I wouldn't have her. And she is just such a blessing to us. So that is something that is very near and dear to my heart. And as far as the privacy issue goes, I do think that you should have to have a police report, and that whoever did that atrocity should be held accountable. Mm-hmm. I think it's extremely sexist for our society to say, hey, you're a girl, you just go have an abortion and everything will be fine. And whoever did that to you gets to walk away with no repercussions.
And you deal with it. You deal with the emotional issues
and all
that stuff.
And that's just terrible for females. And that's what we're telling them to do. And they have no support.
And just in terms of like parallel structure, if she decides to keep, there can be great obligations on the man.
Absolutely.
So there should be, I mean, you know, the idea that he can escape that or be, you know, not held responsible. I agree. You know, these are big inequities, I think.
Well,
and I think going back to your point of us having to talk about it now, which I think is the great idea of states' rights. We can.
Let's get a quick traffic. Sorry, I'm
Jake,
super late and I just forgot.
Bias.
Jake, how do the roads look? They're always awesome at this time of day.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Michigan Avenue eastbound between Softly Field Road and South Gulf Manor, slow from an accident from earlier. Get in the left lane if you can, if you're headed eastbound on Michigan Avenue. Also, 98 on the west side in Fairfield Drive. We've got a road blockage there with an accident. Please use caution. And East Burgess Road by West Florida High School, slow in both directions. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know. 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Faster. Craig, go ahead.
I think that we having to go and think through uncomfortable scenarios now is absolutely a must.
Yeah.
We were watching some new series.
You said
on,
to the logic teacher.
Yeah. Well, so we
I'm
were watching
you,
some new
go.
Series on Hulu last night. My daughter really wanted to watch it. She's a huge World War II buff, and it's about the Holocaust in Poland. And, and I can't remember the name of the show, but I'm watching it, and it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just the hatred to watch as these, you know, Jews were taken from their homes and they're giving these, I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is not entertaining. I feel
icky,
horrible.
Yeah.
By knowing that the humanity has put people through this, but that's what we have to do.
That's like, I know we don't have time to get into it, but the teaching of the hate word, slur word, this, you know, we talked about that this week. Discomfort is one of the important things in a good education. You got to learn how to grapple with this stuff. Ashley Hoffberger, Craig Heinzman, great conversation. Thank you for the time.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.